Should we start off? We always, always make you do this because you're a sophrologist and you study and practice sophrology. So what is sophrology, just briefly?
Sophrology is basically the study of conscious harmony. So it's one of those ology words. Whenever a word ends with ology, it means it's a study of something. And sophro, which is the root word of sophrology, is conscious harmony. So we study conscious harmony of the mind-body connection through sensory awareness, cell appreciation, and self-discovery. So it's all about gaining biological values, understanding the structure of who we are and how we approach life, and being able to use the tools of sophrology in order to create optimal well-being daily life.
And it is all about well-being. So it's not just like health. When we say health, we're talking about, well, actually, this is the thing, isn't it? When we say health, we think about our bodies. But that's precisely not what's happening with sophrology, is it? Because you're talking about the mind-body connection.
We're talking about your whole person health. So you have a mind, you have mental health, physical health, spiritual health, social health, emotional health, and then just the health of the overall health of your entire structure. So we tend to walk around thinking that we're just these beings, the things we see in the mirror, which look physical to us, and we don't really become aware. It's about creating awareness of your entire structure, all the elements, all the bits that make you, that create your daily, your life experience.
So how do you break down the well-being situation then?
So, well, well-being is is whole person well-being. So we're not, you know, like I always use the example of COVID. For COVID, the only focus of our well-being was on our physical well-being. And then what we saw from COVID was that everyone's mental well-being and emotional well-being and social well-being was disturbed and distorted because we only focused on the one issue, physical well-being. And so we came out of COVID with more problems than we went into it with, because we only focused on one part of who we are as humans.
Yeah, that's actually a really nice way of putting it. No finger pointing involved, because that was one of the results, of course. Everyone was looking at everyone else. Okay, so so how do you want to attack the well-being situation today? Attack's a terrible word to use in this context, but you know what I mean.
Approach. Let's say approach.
Approach is good. Yeah, I like that much better.
So we do have well-being concerns, and I think that we tend to use that word quite frivolously these days. We, you know, it's the big buzzword now, and everybody's talking about well-being this and well-being that, but what is it, you know, and what are we concerned about really? So I have a list of well-being strategies that I help people with to build a well-being toolkit. And the well-being toolkit would include creating clarity of mind, being able to beat burnout, improving your sleep, being able to manage stress and anxiety and depression, having healthy relationships, having ability to have emotional resilience, and just basically being overall, having an overall sense of happiness in your life. And so those are the effects of the well-being toolkit that I'm able to help people establish in their lives. And it's all based on the structure of your being. So not having to reach for anything external, anything outside of you. It's all contained within your whole person structure. So when we talk about those well-being things that I just mentioned, the opposite of that is brain fog and burnout and your inability to have restful sleep and depression and being stressed and anxious all the time and having unhealthy relationships and not being emotionally resilient. So pick one of those. Yeah, and then we'll kind of like structure our conversation based around one of those issues.
Because I'm glad you said pick one, because it feels quite overwhelming to when you just listed them all there at once.
Yes, it is very overwhelming.
Go on.
So I was just going to say, we all have a little bit of those going on in our lives. And then for some people, one would be more prominent than another. So what we want to do is be able to build an overall well-being strategy so that we can be aware of what's going on. Like, there are times where our sleep is not great, but then sometimes we're having good sleep, and sometimes we're having unhealthy relationships, and sometimes we're having great healthy relationships, and sometimes we're feeling depressed, and sometimes we're not. So if we choose one of those, rather than having an overwhelming conversation about all of those things,
yeah,
that would be helpful. So is there one, that you want to focus on specifically, or?
Well, I want to sort of head out for left field a little bit and go for happiness. Because in some ways it's quite hard for us to pin down what that is even. And so I may have chosen the most difficult one in some ways to talk about. I barely even know how to talk about it. So start us off.
Okay. All right.
How do you approach it?
So, can you still hear me okay?
Yeah, we're perfectly good. Yep.
Okay, good. Because I just lost one of my ear pods. So I only have one working at the moment.
Okay, well, we'll try to be loud.
Yeah, so basically, if our problem is the opposite of happiness, so let's say the problem is, let's just go with feeling low and blue. We're not going to go deep into depression.
Yeah.
Because the total opposite of happiness is depression. So let's just focus on feeling a bit melancholy, having those moments of blue and just low days. And so what we want to identify is why we would be feeling low and what that means for us, and how are we feeling that? Is it because we have some pain or discomfort? Is it because there's too much, our lifestyle is just too overwhelming? Did something really sad happen? What would be the problem that would cause us to feel low and blue?
Yep. Are you asking me to name one?
Yeah, what's something that might cause a person to feel low?
I almost think these days that we don't actually prioritize being happy. Mm-hmm. Don't see that as a necessary state to be in, even though we like it. That we just are too busy to worry about being happy. I don't know if that really helps you out there, but. It's a forgotten thing. Like when we say, "Oh yeah, we want to clear up the brain fog." Yes, but happiness in itself is we don't. Yeah, it's a weird one in some ways. It should be simple.
Yeah, well, it's actually not simple because we struggle to identify what happiness is for us, and part of that comes from. Being disconnected from our innate values, our strengths and values, identifying the cultural and learned behaviors that actually resonate with us and that we actually do want to embrace. So we want to achieve happiness, but we don't really identify how that is for us. And what we have to do is completely back up, perhaps go back into early days and identify what do I value? What are my strengths? What are the cultural norms and my learned behaviors that I appreciate and that are a part of my root being that I want to be connected to? And being able to ask yourself those questions. And then when you are able to identify what those are, then what we do is make what we call values-based decisions. And those decisions are based on the fact that you identified, these are the things I value, these are my strengths, these are the cultural and learned behaviors that I resonate with. And therefore, I realize that by focusing on those, I'll be able to enjoy happiness in my life.
So maybe go ahead.
Oh, and when I'm not feeling happy, I can also identify, oh, that's because I've made a choice or I'm doing something that is in direct contrast to what the core of my being is.
Yeah, yeah. And a reasonable example I'm thinking of now is maybe you're working for an organization or a company where you don't share their values. I'm thinking of a firm I worked for years ago, an office in Hamilton, and they were a little more corporate than I was. I remember being at the Monday morning meeting and they're trying to rev everyone up and get us to go out and kill for the business, which is basically get them to go out and work hard for their profit. And I just would be sitting there thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get myself excited enough to do what they want me to do. And it wasn't It wasn't sales or anything. I'm making it sound like a sales thing. It wasn't at all. I was running projects, but there was a real mismatch in values there. I later figured out after I left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's exactly what was going on, is what you were being asked to do was in contrast to what you valued and what you felt strongly for in your life. And so you would, you were basically seeking, you were living someone else's values. So you were going out and trying to push and do the work of the values of some other person and not yourself.
Yeah.
And so as far as happiness goes, being able to identify what your values, your strengths, and your cultural learned your learned behaviors are. So for you, you gave a work example. For some people, that might also be like family examples, like being raised by parents who taught you a certain way of life. And as you've grown, you've come to realize that's not the way of life that settles with you. And so when you continue to live their life, you realize that's not making you happy. And so that's another example of a family contrast. So we have these different contrasts going on, and when we can identify, but it's really about self-searching, right? So what I talked about earlier is self-sensing. Part of what sophrology teaches is to be aware and to self-sense, and to recognize what is my, how do I discover myself and what is important to me? Because when you understand what's important to you, it sounds like a selfish statement to make, but when you can understand what yourself really, what your values are and your strengths are and what you really believe in, you're able to live a more happy and peaceful life. So you can show up like, do you enjoy what you do now? I'm going to say yes. Let's just say Aaron loves what he does now, and you're showing up full on 100% for your job every day because you love it. And look how you're able to be productive at work, in the workplace. You're able to be productive at home. You're able to be productive for everyone around you because you're living your dream. You're not living someone else's dream.
Okay, right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, you don't want to be living someone else's dream. I guess that's the thing. And if it's a job, maybe you can get away from that job. But if it's your family, Lani, that's a bit different.
Well, not necessarily, because if you really believe for yourself, like if you, and this takes a lot of self-searching. So like what I teach in sophrology is to self-search and to identify. And we do this through meditation and relaxation techniques and building your confidence, building your trust. And when you have confidence and trust in yourself and you're coming from a loving space, then when you are having conversations with other people about I've done some self-discovery and this is what I've identified about myself, and you're explaining it from a place of love and truth.
Yeah.
The other person is going to feel the love and truth, because what we share is that deep space of energy where love and truth are elements that speak in a very energetic, strong kind of way. So when you are having a meaningful conversation with a person, I mean, think about conversations you've had with people, and some of those conversations have been contradictory and a lot of high negative emotion. There's a lot of blockage there, and you're not able to accept from each other, because what's going on is you're speaking with your ego instead of with the truth and love that comes from your self-discovery. So with family relations, and once you've identified, I resonate with this, but I don't resonate with this, and I'm going to have that critical conversation with whoever that is in your life, whether it's your parents or partners or whoever that is. When you're having that critical conversation, the conversation can be respectful. And when there's love in that space, the other person can respect that, okay, I get where you're coming from, and I understand that those things don't resonate with you, and that's okay. This is, you know, that's where we come to that place of understanding and appreciation. I can appreciate your lifestyle, you can appreciate my lifestyle, and that's okay. We can actually share that, because then there's times where you can join me in what I'm doing, and you can be okay with that, and I can join you in what you're doing and be okay with that, because we are, again, now the happiness is moving into that healthy relationship aspect, where we ourselves are happy, and therefore we can be happy in the relationship that we're existing in, because we've allowed the people in that relationship to understand one another.
So, I mean, we can see that all these different aspects of well-being sort of cross over and bleed into each other. But how, this almost feels like a strange question, but how important would you say happiness is to your well-being, to our well-being?
How the crossover works.
No. I just was sort of, that was an aside, that the question is, how important is being happy to our health and well-being?
Well, so being happy is actually a result of all the other things that are going on. So if you're not managing stress well in your life, then you're not happy. If you don't have restful sleep, you're not happy. If you don't have clarity of mind, and your mind is continually full of brain fog, you're not happy. So basically what's happening is all of these well-being concerns and the things that I mentioned before, if those are flaring in your life, if you're struggling with burnout, then you're not happy. And you really can't be happy until you address the burnout.
So you're talking about happiness there as the result of those other things. Can it be the cause?
Happiness is an emotion that is fleeting.
Yeah.
And there's like the science of happiness that we talk about when we talk about flow. And we talk about all the different aspects of happiness, like relationships and showing gratitude and exercising and service and compassion to other people. And there's a list of like seven aspects of it. And when you exercise, when you sleep well, when you show gratitude for other people, when you serve other people, there's actually hormonal things going on in your body that then create happiness.
Right.
So happiness is actually associated with serotonin, dopamine, and oxytocin in the body, which then gets into more of the science aspect of sophrology.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll probably call it a day there, Lani. I've got my next interview kind of lined up. I'm trying to give everyone equal time this morning after I did all the news and stuff a bit late. But if people want to follow this up, do you want to remind them of your website or something like that they can check out some more of what you're talking
definitely,
about?
Yeah, definitely. So what we've done today is basically talk about the well-being concerns, but how do we address them and how do we fix those concerns? And for what I teach in sophrology, it's meditation. And meditation works because we're basically rewiring the brain.
Yeah.
If you don't rewire the brain, then you won't be able to fix these concerns that we have. And so it's all about rewiring the brain. And the best way to rewire the brain is through meditation. And so if somebody is interested in I'm actually a meditation coach, and I use the techniques of sophrology to create well-being and overall conscious harmony. So they can email me. My email is Sophro, so that's spelled S-O-P-H-R-O, SophroSolace@gmail.com.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you for your time this morning, Lani.